Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello and welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough, joined in the studio by Dave Orton. Tom Collins is going to be joining us in a little while. And we have Paul Binfield from Paddy Power on the line as well. As per usual, the Monday team, we're going to look back on the weekend. Of course, there was lots of racing missed. We had the Vertem Futurity, which is now going to be run at Newcastle on Friday. At Doncaster, that didn't happen. Newbury was another card we lost, but we did have 2 days of action at Cheltenham. Some excellent quality racing to get stuck into, that was. And hopefully, we all had a profitable Friday and Saturday at Prestbury Park. Now, some notable performances. We have the likes of Our Dancer, Mukahi's Hill, Kel Destan, Champagne Well, St. Calvados, To Be Fair, and Slate House. Just some of the up-and-comers. But also some pretty impressive winners of the handicaps as well. Dave, let's go to you first. I mean, let's start with Our Dancer then. Cut for the Arkle after his win. What were your immediate impressions?
I wrote the race up for the analysis section. And yeah, it was a perfect start, wasn't it, I think? I think they probably would have liked to have led. You remember, he used to like to do that over hurdles, didn't they? The hood was back on.
Yeah.
If you remember, he completely bombed out in the Supreme. That was the last time we'd seen him, wasn't he?
Yes.
He had that summer break. He's been waiting to jump a fence. You know, I'm not telling anyone anything they don't really know here, but if a horse is very keen over hurdles, the theory is when it looks at a fence, it should slow it down a little bit and it should settle it a bit better. Mm-hmm. Historically, horses that are headstrong over hurdles do a little bit better over fences. He couldn't lead. He had to take a lead. He looked really vulnerable, didn't he, when that Getaway Dancer came up.
Getaway Trump.
Outside. Getaway Trump, sorry. On his outside. Probably needed the run. Nichols horses looks like...
I think all of his are blowing up at the minute, aren't they?
Although he's now rated... Or he went into the race, the Trump, rated £4 superior to Our Dancer. But of course, there was just a pound between them when he got thrashed by him in the rescheduled Betfair hurdle.
Yes.
He's one of those horses, Niall Dancer. I think if you've been with him over hurdles, you like him, but people don't tend to forgive these flops at Cheltenham, do they?
Mm.
And of course, we know he likes the track. He proved that on Friday. He obviously won a handicap there. That's no problems whatsoever. But on the big day, is he going to boil over a little bit? Twisters afterwards kind of blamed himself for running him a bit soon after Ascot. They say he needs quite a bit of time between his races. Is he a real Arkle horse? I'm not sure. Will he go up in trip? That's the other question I've got. So
yeah.
Anyone that's on that 20-1 at the moment, which Binners will tell us no doubt has been slashed after Friday, I think you'd be worried about which race he will get to.
Yeah, okay. I'm a bit with you, not totally buying Our Dancer just yet, but what I would say is if you are a big fan, that the vibes from the yard have always been very, very strong, that he's their new best thing, if you like, haven't they? Binners, how did you react to that first win over fences?
Well, good afternoon, Maddie. Yes, as Dave said, we slashed Our Dancer for the Racing Post Arkle. He's now 12 from 20. The third place, Getaway Trump, we pushed him out slightly for the Arkle, 12 from 10. I was lucky enough to be at Prestbury Park, and somebody told me that one of the connections of Getaway Trump said that Our Dancer would never beat him again. So there you go. Oh. But we make both of them 12 to 1.
Okay, very interesting. Let's talk about Champagne Well then. Fergal O'Brien, he had a brilliant weekend, even a couple yesterday at Aintree and then at Wincanton as well. He's another trainer who likes to get his horses out early, as we said this time last week. And this horse, he's smart and he's progressing, isn't he?
He was going to run in the Persian War. Mm-hmm. And then they scratched him from that, if you remember. Was it on the day? I think it was due to the ground, wasn't it? So he got a bit lucky with the ground. It was a massive gamble. Great ride from Paddy Brennan. This is Paddy's time of year. I think he showed it last year. He'll go to the open meeting in November and bang in a few winners. I think he's just like a man possessed, isn't he? What I love about Paddy Brennan, not just that he's a class act as a chap, he's a lovely bloke, but every win is like a gold cut for him, isn't it? It doesn't matter whether he's at Kelso, whether he's at Southall, over the jumps or anything like that. If he gets in a finish, he stands up in the irons, and the irons almost like salutes.
Yeah, but that's what we want, isn't it? You want that passion, and I think the trainer's very much the same. They celebrate every winner, and you've got to do that with the ups and downs.
Yes. I mean, look, we're talking about the first novice hurdle of the opening meeting at Cheltenham. Historically, we don't see Supreme winners or indeed Ballymore winners or Albert Bartlett winners. Although second season hurdlers do quite well in the Albert Bartlett. At Fisher's Cross, of course, second season hurdler. I think another one's won it since as well.
He always likes to run them in the races a couple of times, doesn't he, as well, Fergal Brian? He had the II Charlie. I think he ran in different races at the festival twice.
Yes, he did. In fact, he had been placed at Aintree twice in that race that he won yesterday at Aintree, the opening maiden there. Imperial Alcazar he won it with, didn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, he's a creature of habit and the yard can do literally no wrong at the moment. Will this guy go on? I'm not sure. I mean, Brave Blue, who was second, was giving him a penalty. They dawdled in that race. I think it was something like 40 seconds above standard. All of a sudden, everyone was like, what is going on with the ground out there? Of course, they dawdled and there was an insane headwind. Paddy Brennan made the difference in that and Brave Blue came out best at the weights. A couple of eye catchers in there. I thought L'Air du Vent.
Yes.
It is our horse, which you would have been all over, no doubt.
I was, yeah. Good point-to-point form, though, behind that Shishkin of Nicky Henderson.
Yes.
That's why I was drawn to him.
Very much so. He fell that day, didn't he, when he was kind of upsides. And he looks like one to take out of it, I think. And Dr. Duffy, although beaten, would have hated that dawdle, I think. And if Charles Burns is not eyeing up a handicap for that later on, I'm a Dutchman.
Okay. Let's move on, because we've got a lot to cover. Mulcahy's Hill... big sort of strong stayer in the making, loves the mud. He's been through a lot, that horse. We had a piece in the paper from Warren Greatrexon, been ran over. You know, he was out cold after the National Hunt Chase, an eventful National Hunt Chase last season, and won for those sort of soft ground handicaps over long distances.
That's what I thought. And again, I wrote all of these races up on Friday for the analysis, and I thought that Holstone was a little bit unlucky because he did all the donkey work and then faced that headwind. It was,
he travelled the best, didn't he?
Absolutely. And if any horse was going to get softened up in that race, it was going to be the front runner. I thought, again, he'll be a 9-year-old come festival time next year. So, I don't know, it's tricky, isn't it?
Mm.
You get these horses that leave it late because they go down that staying hurdle route or the champion hurdle route and they go for the money and they go for the prize. And then, lo and behold, we can't win them anymore. We've got to go over fences. They tend to be early season sorts. Will they go for a handicap with him? Possibly. Although at the same time, his mark's going to be that high, isn't it? So it looked like one of those really slow motion slog races.
Do you think a lot of them will be between a rock and a hard place in terms of placing?
Probably.
High in handicaps, but not good enough to win.
I think so. Although Mulcahy's Hill, surely they've got to be tempted by a long distance chase from someone like the Classic at Warwick. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
I think that's probably the horse we're looking at. In third, Manila Warrior, who was making his chasing debut, I thought he was the horse to take out the race.
Okay. Binners, let's go to you. Mentioned some other horses, Kel Destan, to be fair, both on Saturday. They put up really good performances.
Yeah, absolutely, Maddie. Just going back to Mulcahy's Hill, it was you mentioned about Fergal O'Brien celebrating Mulcahy's Hill, owned by Greg Stone and Max McNeil, the latter quite a good friend of mine. And I'll tell you what, they celebrated at the racecourse on Friday. It was brilliant. Kel Destan, yeah, did it well off top weight for Paul Nicholls and Harry Cobden. Did the recent run on the flat help? It might have done. No real ripples for the anti-post market. 50-1 for the champion hurdle, Maddie, at this moment. And to be fair, that was a tremendous performance by Deborah Hamer's charge. And, you know, she gained compensation for the narrow defeat at the festival this year.
Yeah, brilliant story that. I think that's one we can all get behind, the Down the Key Syndicate. Great to see them in the winner's enclosure again. Dave, let's talk about St. Calvados. Brilliant weight-carrying performance. I think a lot of people would have been perhaps a bit surprised on Saturday that some of the winners were under such big weights, but class prevails.
Tom Segal put him up, didn't he, I think, in the paper, saying if you'd have said that he'd have been given weight to, you know, only a couple of pounds to, who was it? McGrawty, of course, the Dr. Richard Newland, another stable that had a fantastic weekend, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did that Duke Street win so easily on Friday? It's amazing what he can do with these handicappers. Yeah, St. Calvados, and it proves he doesn't have to lead. He had his ground, though. I mean, it was remarkable, wasn't it, that we thought we might lose Cheltenham at one point?
Yeah.
You know, that last
horrifying.
It would have just been all eyes on Kelso, you know. And with all respect to the Borders track, you know, when you're seeing, you know, Kelso on mainstream TV, there's been inspections all over the place that haven't come off. So it was a weird day, and whether we're going to take this form going forward, I don't know. St. Calvados didn't win after his comeback last year. I think it's going to be hard to place him again. It just proves he doesn't have to lead.
There's
an interesting, you know, sort of afterpiece after that race with Harry Whittington, his trainer, saying, you know, I had a bit of a tete-a-tete, you know, over Gav Sheehan, who rode him, saying he said he was going to hold him up. Don't do that, just track the pace. It looked like there was a lot of pace in that race, but
Knock Nanus is an absolute lovable head case. I think that'd be fair.
Yeah, I think that the Moor Camp would be happy with that, I think. And again, a lot of horses that are just quite difficult to place. Vanateur, where did he come from? He's gone completely missing. He's one of those horses that when you take your eye off him, the talent remains. So
yeah,
they had the day in, not quite in the sun, in the rain, shall we say. And again, just pinch of salt form at the moment.
Yeah, as you mentioned, some of this form may be to take with a pinch of salt, but one horse maybe not so, Slate House. The Bet Victor Gold Cup is being, sort of bandied around as the new target for him, and he really emerged back onto the scene like he first did a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, last season was extremely disappointing for him, wasn't it? It looked like a horse that definitely had problems. I think he'd had a wind operation going in. Loads of Tizard horses seem to be doing a Paul Nicholls. If you're looking at the cards at the moment, they've all had summer wind ops, and not all of them are getting over the line, actually. So I suppose we should credit him there. But there were horses that didn't go on the ground, I think. That Go Another One, who won at the meeting last year, came there for good ground, got January hot deep. They were unlucky. First Assignment as well, who won at the meeting last year on good ground. It was watered, of course. We should say that it was the first time since 2012 that had started anything other than good to soft. And last year they watered. It shows you what a crazy month we're having.
Yeah, exactly. Binners, any prices on Slate House for the Bet Victor, if anyone's interested?
Absolutely, Maddie. Slate House now heads the market along with Spirit of the Games after that good performance at Cheltenham. They're both 8-1 joint favourites. Slate House was 16-1 before that and has been as big as 25-1 for the Bet Victor. So he now heads the market.
Yeah, always a great race that, isn't it? Competitive and one of these really early season highlights. So we look forward to that. We'll move on to the action at Aintree yesterday, and Forrest Behan was the big name, winning well tipped by a few RP judges, Dave, and just was speedy, wasn't he, without the fences?
Yes, he was the one runner in the race that was running off his correct mark, if you like, without being... you had the other two... Big Martra, who was out of the... And the
Flying
Twisted
Angel.
Davis Flying Angel, who was sixth in the race last year. Looks like he's run pound-to-pound with Frodon. But... Again, I did the analysis for this race, and I said you can't take it literally because it's a completely different test. And again, not telling people anything that they don't know, but when they take the fences out, it means it's less of a stamina test, of course.
Yeah.
Jumping it. Yeah. So Frodon, that was a big X against his name going into the race. Kalashnikov has to be the one you take out of it, but I'll get to that in a minute because the winner deserves that mention. He had the fitness on his side, and he's the two-miler in the race that had stamina to prove. And after, you know, after his trainer, you know, Ellison came out and said he's a brilliant trainer, Brian Ellison, as well, of these sort of horses. They always get their big day. He could have been 100 horse on the flat. He's obviously had a few attitude problems because he wore no cheap pieces on Sunday. But it was just about that speedy turn of foot. But Kalashnikov was upsides, wasn't he?
He strikes me as more of a galloper.
We've rated him as running to his manifesto win when we last saw him at Aintree. Now, you have to think that he's going to step up on that. He's got a good record fresh. He needs to go left-handed seemingly as well, doesn't he? But that's no bad thing in jump racing, as we know. You've got Aintree and you've got Cheltenham, which is, you know, the be-all and end-all.
Yeah.
I think there's a big prize in him. Where it is along the line, I'm not 100% sure, but I think he's a horse to keep with Kalashnikov.
What would you do with the winner now?
Well, they're talking about the Bet Victor, aren't they? But that's a much sterner examination of his stamina, and I'd have to be against him there. I think he was into about 12-14-1 for that. But again, we don't really know who the big players are, you know, at the minute quite for that. Slate House, I guess. But I think, again, Frodon, I was a bit surprised, Binners, that the likes of Paddy Power, and that pushed him out for the Betfair, because if anything, it was the piece of work he craved. And like we said previously on the show, Nicholls horses do seem like the majority of them are coming on a lot for the first run.
Yeah, it was a big, big ask. It would have been sort of asking for a Denman-like performance off that weight, wouldn't it? Binner's reaction to Forrest Behan's winning the Old Roan?
Yeah, well, we went 20-1 for the Bet Victor, Maddie. Possibly he was fortunate that the fences were taken out, but you can do no more than win. I wish I'd been on the stairs when Brian Ellison said this can't get beat when he found out the fences were being omitted. As Dave just said, we did push Frodon slightly for the Bet Victor, 25 from 20. That could be a big price, as we know him and Bryony Frost are deadly around there over 2 miles, 5 furlongs. But Kalashnikov was my fancy going into the race. I don't think he would have been. Yeah, you know, he had a tough job against Forrest Behan with all those fences missing, and I still think he'll be a major player in the Ryanair at the end of the season.
Okay. Any eye catchers from the rest of the car? Before we do, I just want to say I thought it was a great ride from Brian Hughes. And Brian Ellison, I mean, if you fancy one of his horses, they're going to run a good race because he's in absolutely blinding form.
Yeah, absolutely. I just think it'll be Forrest Behan's big day to shine. It was his first win over fences since 2017. So I might be proved wrong, but, you know, I think you have to look at the facts, don't you? Don't give up on Kalashnikov, though. Definitely not.
Yeah.
Stony Mountain was interesting in the previous race. Again, a race that cut up due to the ground. It's you know, a cunning thing, isn't it, as a punter. You're looking at that first race at Aintree in the sun and you're thinking, how can they, why have we got so many non-runners on the card? Because it's a bowling green there. You know, Aintree have this luxury of not racing that much, really.
Yeah.
And it always looks like a fantastic surface, but it was pretty holding underneath. Stony Mountain won despite that technical race. He was hammered, wasn't he? He won the maiden on the card for Johnson and Daly the previous year. So he might be a bit of an eight horse, but Paisley Park won that race last year. I'm not suggesting that we've got another Stayers Hurdle winner by any means, but the Grade 3 fixed brush hurdle looks a perfect race for him next.
Yeah. Okay. And a final word from you, Binners, on the action at Aintree.
Well, and I was going to actually mention one over in Ireland, Maddie. Battle Over Doyen was quite impressive in the beginner's chase at Galway. And had a major impact on three of the novice markets at Cheltenham later in the year. He's 12 from 20 for the RSA, 16 first show for the National Hunt Chase, and 20 from 25 for the JLT. But Gordon Elliott, yeah, he had a brilliant day, winning races all over the place, and Battle Over Doyen, he was a good hurdler, possibly could be an even better chaser.
Yeah, always well hyped, wasn't he, Battle Over Doyen, and a pretty faultless chase debut, I'd have to say. So unsurprised that those markets have moved. Now, before we take a break and get Tom in the studio, a quick word on the Vertem Futurity, which, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is now going to be run at Newcastle on Friday. And some new horses engaged. Kamiko, and I'm sure Aidan O'Brien's going to still send over a few, but the real interesting one is Kinross for Rafe Beckett, Dave.
Yes, who was a little bit surprising. He wasn't going for the race in the first place because the ground would have been right up his street, judged on his Newbury, when Rafe Beckett, as you know, is having another strong finish with his juveniles. If you remember last year, those Waverley Racing horses or those Lockie de Vegas, they were winning all over the place, the de Vega horses. He's doing it again. Yeah, look, what do we make of this switch to the all-weather? I think it's a great thing.
There's been a little bit of controversy. Some people not necessarily
don't
agreeing with it. What do
don't
you
get it. It has to go to an arc track and a sky track, obviously. That's one big tick. It's a straight, stiff mile tick. And I think that the all-weather fans are absolutely loving this fact that it's the first, you know, weight for age.
Yeah.
Group one under the lights especially. So we'll wait to see what the final fields are. But Kinross certainly adds a bit of spice. It would have been a nightmare, wouldn't it? You know, it was Mogul's race to lose, I guess. Qatar Racing, you know. Mind you, that Kamiko on figures wasn't that far behind. Look, it's Doncaster's loss, but Newcastle's gain. And I'm absolutely delighted that at 3:25 on Friday, we're going to have a group one.
Yeah, unique circumstances. Binners, can you see Kinross getting particularly well backed or anything else now that the race conditions have changed?
Yeah, I think Kinross will be well backed, Maddie. Well, I think it's great that the race is going ahead wherever it is, whatever surface it is. We need the Racing Post Vertem Futurity to be run, the second biggest two-year-old race of the year. Kinross, I've been a bit wary of backing him myself. I know he was impressive at Newmarket, but you know, he's going to lack the experience of some of these, and you know, I don't know whether Mogul will show up or the Aidan's Beresford Stakes winner, but Kinross deserves his place, and it'll be great to see how he gets on. I know that the Paddy Power Traders were quite queer. We were short on Andrew Balding's contestant on Saturday, and hopefully he'll show up.
Exactly that. And on that note, as always, if you're interested in any of the horses we've mentioned for future targets, make sure to download the Racing Post app. You've got all our best offers on there, and you can bet through it as well with most of the leading bookmakers. So download our app if you haven't already.
What's my horse's handicap? The fact that you're backing him? Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to this Monday postcast. Now, the Breeders' Cup is just another of the events we've got to look forward to. The final decks are out this evening, so we're going to have a little preview now. The lads on Friday are going to go into it on more detail then, but let's just have a bit of a taster. Let's start with you, Tom. You're the sort of Breeders' Cup American Racing aficionado. Who's catching your eye?
Yeah, well, I can't wait. Breeders' Cup's the best 2 days of the year for me. It's better than Cheltenham, better than Royal Ascot. So I'm the only
You're
one I think I'll say
a
that.
Lot of people
it's worth talking about, isn't it? Because it's a proper Marmite meeting. I'm one that loves it. I mean, I love everything, really. But I think it's a great opportunity for racegoers to just, you know, have a bit of a party at home, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the coverage is fantastic.
It's a bit different as well,
channels.
Isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And you get to, I mean, let's not forget that our last two Derby winners have come from this meeting. Anthony Van Dyke and Massar, both beaten at the Juvenile Turf. Don't think we're going to see that this year because Arizona heads up. He looks quite a strong favourite in that, I think. And he's not going to get a mile four, I don't think. No, no, never, isn't he? So, but look, some fascinating horses. You've probably got some serious...
Who's your leading light, do you think?
Well, I mean, there's a few. Like, Sister Charlie's probably the best bet of the week.
So I would be keen to take her on with Magical, I think.
No, I can't see it. I can't... I don't know why...
She's a winning machine. She won it last year, didn't she?
Yeah. Sister Charlie's just unbelievable.
Who did she beat last year? She scraped home, didn't she, from...
She always scrapes home, though. That's the thing. She never wins decisively. She comes from the back, and she's got this incredible turn of foot, but then just idles when she hits the front. Magical, obviously... is the proven horse over here. Everyone's going to back her. That's why she's 9-4 joint favourite. In America, they will not be joint favourites. Sister Charlie will be close to odds on, I suggest, 4-5 maybe. Chad Brown is an unbelievable trainer. He's as good as Aidan O'Brien is over here, especially on the turf.
King of the turf.
He's dominant, isn't he, on the turf?
He just doesn't lose grade one races. And
he's going to on Saturday night, Tom.
Well, look, he's going to lose one or two, isn't he? He's not going to win them all. But Sister Charlie... I can't see Sister Charlie losing. She's the best turf horse in the world, filly or mare, in my opinion.
Oof.
I can't see any horse.
Almond Eye, of course, won.
Yeah, she was.
A lot of people talking about her.
She was impressive, but Sister Charlie has that turn of foot that I don't think any other horse has. She's electric. She's got the turn of foot of a sprinter.
Peter Brandt, isn't it, who of course owns Sostas, and I think she's
great family. We've mentioned
sibling, isn't
times
she?
Before,
I think of
Sostas.
Yeah. The two-tone there, isn't colours it? And. Yeah, she's just unbelievable. Sometimes she runs in the yellow and pink colours, actually. So it'll be interesting to see what... I presume she'll run in the normal two-tone green on
she
Saturday.
Will.
But
so that's in the filly and mare turf?
Yeah, that's in the filly and mare turf. She should be 4-5 over here. She's going to be 9-4. She's the best bet of the weekend, no doubt about it. She does come from behind, though, so she'll need a decent passage through. But look, she's won. She only lost once in America, and that's by a short margin. She's won 10 or 14 in her career. Magical is fantastic horse, but Sister Charlie should beat Magical, I think.
Okay, so a disagreement there. Binners, just clarify Paddy Power's price on Sister Charlie and Magical in that filly and mare turf.
Actually, this is one races at the Breeders' Cup I have an opinion on, Maddie. I agree with Tom about Sister Charlie. I think she is brilliant. Magical, at Ascot, when John Gosden won a race there, he ruled out the Breeders' Cup saying that it's too close to Champions Day at Ascot. And for that reason, I think Magical will get beaten by Sister Charlie, who is currently leading our market at 7-4, 9-4 Magical, 8-1 Iridesa, 10-1 Fleeting and Villa Marina, and it's 12-1 Bar.
There are some short memories out there, aren't there? Do not people not remember last year when she came from the Arc, went to the Champions Day, won there, then went to the Breeders' Cup as well, and just got beaten by an Able. If Enable was in this race, she'd absolutely eat up Sister Charlie.
Anyway, I'm keen not to get too much. I've got to sort of get some control over this postcast. A secondary tip then. Go for it, Tom.
In the Breeders' Cup Mile, it's a race where I think Circus Maximus heads the market. That just bemuses me. I don't understand why Circus Maximus is leading the market. Could again be the British and Irish factor. Aidan O'Brien's 0-18 in this race. He's got a really bad record, and there are a couple of fantastic horses, stateside horses in there. Got Stormy for Mark Cassie, really good filly. She's likely to be up there with the pace. But the winner is going to be trained by Chad Brown again. It's going to be a Chad Brown benefit, I tell you. Uni, she's an incredible mare. She has speed figures are better than any other horse in the race. Obviously, we don't know for Circus Maximus because you can't correlate. It's a Chad Brown factor again, as I've already said. Her turn of foot is similar to Sister Charlie. She runs over shorter, obviously a mile compared to a mile and 2 furlongs. She was formerly trained by Fabrice Chappé in France, so she has that that European factor.
It's in her profile.
Yeah, it's in her profile. And Chad Brown does so well with those shippers from France, especially. He's cleared up in recent seasons with these kind of prolific performers. Her latest Keeneland victory, she came from the back, and she was a second string of Chad Brown that day. She was returning from a break. And she was just pulled out wide, and it looked like she was probably going to blow up because she's obviously returning from a break. Sometimes Chad Brown doesn't have his horses ready first time up. But she literally tore them apart down the outside. She was going 2 to everyone else's 1. She cleared away hands and heels, didn't even get a smack of the whip. broke the course record at Keeneland that day. She's shipping west now to Santa Anita, but I think Uni's the winner of this race. And I'll be laying Circus Maximus.
6-1?
Yeah, 6-1, great.
I was just about to ask, Binners, yeah, 6-1?
Well, 11-2 Uni, Maddie. So the pre-Ju Moulin winner, Circus Maximus, as Tom just said, heads the market 130. Then it's Bricks and Mortar at 7-2. 11-2 got Stormy along with Uni, who Tom's so keen on. And 8-1 Iridesa Space Traveller, 12-1 the rest.
Okay, now we spoke about Chad Brown, and Bricks and Mortar is going to be a big horse for this Breeders' Cup. There's been a bit of a manarin over which race he's going to go for. Talk about him for a minute, because he is a pinnacle horse for this meeting, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a fantastic horse and another one of Chad Brown's superstars. He is up there with the best turf horses, I think, in the world. I would like him to come over here, run in some of our races, especially if he went to Royal Ascot. But Clarovich Stables, the owners, known for their white and red silks, they're probably not going to send him over here. I doubt he'll go for the mile, in truth. I think Uni's strong enough to represent Brown in that race. I'm a bit... question of, I don't know, I'm wondering whether Bricks and Mortar's had too many races. He doesn't tend to take them well. He normally has a break after each start. He's a fantastic horse, and if he turns up 100% whatever race he goes for, he will be right there at the finish, but I wouldn't be backing him because his record makes his price so short as well.
Just an element of doubt then, if you're looking forward to punting Bricks and Mortar. Dave, any other fancies from you?
Historically, this is a race where we do extremely well, the Breeders' Cup Turf, of course.
Breeders' Cup Turf, yeah.
And especially at Santa Anita. I'm pretty sure that we've come home with it nearly every time. And Angie van Dijk has been kept for this. If you look back at his run in the Irish Champion, we know that form is now stunning because Magical's come out and advertised it. So did Deirdre at the weekend as well in the Champion Stakes. He screamed of a horse that was just coming back off a summer prep and wanted a mile four again. And on figures, he has to be right up there with the fav, I think.
And he's experienced that style of racing before, of course, last year, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Again, it's a bit of a Magical thing here. I can see him coming out on top here. Old Persian's interesting as well. He's come back quietly, hasn't he? And on figures, he is the horse to beat if you believe that Maidan win, which I must admit at the time I thought, but we gave him a 1-2-2 for that RPR. That's the top figure in the race. And if they get him back to that, and they'll be quietly confident that he's there. James Dorn, I know, absolutely loves this horse. They are two plausible alternatives. Yeah, fascinating, right?
I think the Europeans will come home with that race. I think that's one of two races where O'Brien could legitimately take the prize. Anthony Van Dijk and Arizona in the juvenile turf. Clear market leader, 9-4, I think, and 15-2 bar. I think Binners will clarify that. But Arizona's just a clear form horse in that race. And the second favourite, Decorate Invader, who's the best of the Americans, won the Summer Stakes well last time out for Christophe Clement, but it was a race that kind of fell apart. He was given the perfect ride by Ortiz and he just got the perfect trip. He cleared away, but wasn't that impressive at the line. I just think Arizona's probably going to be too good. It'll be interesting to see what post position he gets though, because I'm not sure that Arizona can go with the early pace. So it'll be interesting to see where he's positioned throughout
tactics
the race.
Tactics key then, so keep your eye on the draw again tonight, I think that is. I'm keen to get stuck back into the domestic action. We've got the Charlie Hall and that Good Sodexo Gold Cup this weekend. But before I do, just one note to end on. How do you think the British and Irish are going to fare at Santa Anita, Dave? Just generally, how many winners? What's the strongest candidate? What do you think?
Well, I've said that I think Magical, you know, is being underrated again. Tough as tea, couldn't she? And in some of the juvenile races, we've got definite chances. Arizona looks pretty strong, doesn't he? There's just something about him. I don't know. There's something about him. I haven't quite gone on from that commentary. I know, no Pinatubo, of course. I think that, well, we always get a bit excited, Tom, don't we, thinking that we're going to do really, exactly. really well. Yeah. But Santa Anita is a good playground for us. It's a fair track, and the turf track is right up our street.
Okay.
So I'd imagine it's to come back with around about three winners, something like that. Maybe three, is that sort of sitting on the fence?
Yeah. I think three is a perfectly good shout. I think two or three, they're 13 grade ones over the 2 days. I can't wait for them, really. They're going to be spectacular, but it'll be a major achievement if we get any more than three. I think Aidan O'Brien's 15-8, I think I saw the other day, to get three or more winners. I wouldn't be backing that at all. I think you might get two. I don't know if bookies are doing specific amounts or just three or more. If they're doing Aidan O'Brien to get two, I'll probably have a little bit on that. But it's in the juvenile races especially, the Americans are going to dominate. It's their Royal Ascot.
Yeah.
Imagine horses coming over to... Well, not imagine. We've seen it in the past. Horses coming over to our Royal Ascot. They don't, aside from Wes Ward, they don't take that many races, do they? And it's a different.
I think there's a significant sort of home advantage with the Breeders'
Cup. Oh, yes. In American racing, they go off so quick at the start. It's completely different to British racing. Horses that don't lie up with the pace have no chance, really, unless the pace completely collapses. The only horse we've seen do really well over there is Mendelssohn, and that's because he's got such good early speed that he can lie up with the pace.
And even he was stuck in races like Kentucky Derby and races like that. Yeah. Before we move on, again, just quickly, Tom, you sort of talking about this racing day in and day out. For punters who are tuning into the Breeders' Cup for the first time, what advice would you give them to look at tactically wise, or what do they have to look out for?
Well, as I said, there's 13 grade ones. For aesthetic purposes, look out for the 6.5 furlong turf races because it's the best type of racing in any course. It's the best turf course you'll ever see. Downhill, across a dirt intersection, horses fly around the corner as well. It's fantastic. The rails, since the deaths that have been well documented about Santa Anita, and they've reworked the track and made it a lot safer for the horses, the rail speed has not seem to hold up in recent meetings. So if you're drawn one on a horse that goes to the front, a pacey horse, I'd be looking to lay because they have not been hanging on. They've been picked up by closers in every single race. Coming wide is not a negative at all on the dirt track. Don't be afraid of drawn if you're drawn wide. I mean, in the Breeders' Cup Mile, where I fancy Uni, there's likely to be a full field of 14 in that race. And if Uni's drawn 14, that wouldn't be a problem at all. If anything, I'd say probably a positive. But look forward to it. It's going to be fantastic and expect the Americans to dominate.
Okay, so you can feel the enthusiasm in the studio here then ahead of the Breeders' Cup. But as I mentioned at the top of the show, excellent domestic action this weekend. We have the Charlie Hall meeting, a great undercard there on Saturday, and Ascot as well staging their Sodexo Gold Cup. I'll be back with the team on Friday to preview that, so make sure you join us then.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Nearly dying in a laundry basket? Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power Games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the final instalment of this Monday postcast. Now we're going to take a look at some of the action midweek. I won't spin you through all the meetings, but fingers crossed a lot are going to go ahead as planned. Tomorrow, Banger is not, but hopefully the weather will be brightening up after we lost Redcar and Leicester today. Dave, we'll start off with you and next best.
Kempton, 7:10. Love a Kempton Wednesday at this time of year. Absolutely great track, isn't it? And
you're welcome to go to those Wednesday meetings. Happy, they're fantastic, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. You should get down there if you can, especially if you're in London. It's so easy to get there on a train. Astro Machiar for the Perrit team in the 7:10. It's a staying handicap. He's ready to win his course and distance winner. Be hard to beat.
Okay, nice and confident. Tom, anything from Kempton as well then?
No, not Kempton this time, but actually a horse that ran at Kempton when I was there. It was either last Wednesday or the Wednesday before. A horse called Dowell Ween for trainer Owen Burrows. In the 5:55 at Chelmsford on Thursday, an improving sort. Really well handicapped, should win again.
Okay, and Binners?
Going to Savile tomorrow, on Tuesday, Maddie, the 6:15, the mile handicap. Going to go for Mr. Music of Tony Carroll's. He's a couple of pounds lower in the handicap than when winning at Wolves in July.
Okay, brilliant. Before we get to the naps, I'm just going to chuck in a few. I love a good Chepstow card. These lads can stick to their flats. Tipping it up to Nancy in the 220, I think, for Tim Vaughan. She'll be quite interesting. Not far behind the Glancing Queen, who won that Grade 2 bumper at Aintree. It's her debut over hurdles, I think. Maybe not necessarily tomorrow, but in the future, she's one to keep an eye on. And I think Ollie Murphy's Finorn Born in the 325 should be tough to beat. Let's get those naps now.
This will not be beaten.
Binners, I'll go to you first.
Well, I'm taking on Dave's next best in that 7:10 at Kempton on Wednesday, Maddie, the 2-miler. I'm going for John O'Shea's Night Crusader. This horse has run 5 times on the all-weather. He's won once over course and distance, been placed a couple of times, and only one poor run, really, when he's run on the sand. He was well out of his ground that day. I think he'll give Dave's a good run for his money.
Okay, the face off then. Who's your nap, Dave?
Binners put up a 14-1 winner last week. We should say
he
that,
did,
shouldn't we?
Did, yeah. Buridan, well done, Binners.
So I'm slightly worried about that now. 5:45, Southwell, Tuesday. There's a horse of John Quinn's called Grayson Roy. He was supposed to nearly win at Doncaster at the weekend. Paul Mulrennan rides, should really like the track.
Southwell or Southwell? We don't Southwell. Have time
it
to get...
Southwell, I'm afraid to say. I say I'm afraid because Southwell's just so much easier to say, isn't it?
We don't have time to get into that debate now, but I'll stick with you on it. Tom, finally, your nap.
A domestic one and a stateside one. Stateside, Maxfield in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile on Friday. Really impressive Keeneland winner first time up. Got an engine of an absolute superstar. That should win. And the domestic one is Lisnagar Oscar in the 220 at Stratford on Thursday. Good year over hurdles 12 months ago. Second behind Ardlethan, a decent horse on chasing debut. Lost the race at the last that day and should make amends.
Yeah, it was an unlucky performance, that wasn't he, when he was beat by Ardle then. Brilliant. We've gone through plenty of action then today. Whatever you're interested in, be sure to join us on Friday where, as I said, I'll be back with the team and we'll look at the cards in more detail. Best of luck where you're betting this week and we'll see you next time.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.